Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. Join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On. It's Pastor Kevin Radlin here with Lighthouse Christian Church, and we're so glad that you joined us today for the podcast, for the program, for the devotion, for the topical study. It's going to be a great time in the Word, and I have my special guest with me today, Lisa Radlin. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here today.
Yeah, so good. So we usually like to come up with a topic. We like to really stretch things and look at different ways God speaks to us. And, you know, today I think we're going to have a really amazing topic. Lisa, what is the topic for today?
Well, I actually was reading in the book of Acts, and I saw this really cool story that I really hadn't read in a long time. And then it was about an angel encounter that Peter had when he was in prison. And so I just want to talk a little bit about angels and the power of prayer.
Sounds good to me. So what do you want to do?
So I think right now we'll just go ahead and read the book of Acts, the whole chapter, like not the whole book,
okay.
The whole chapter.
I'm going to read the whole book of Acts on the air right now.
No, we'll just read.
It's actually
Acts chapter 12. And so I will go ahead and start.
So you're going to read what? Verses
I'll go through
1 through 11. I'll read 12 through 24.
Perfect. Okay.
How's that?
That's perfect.
All right. So here we go. Everybody out there, just kick back, relax. We're going to read the Bible to you today, okay? So I guess that's powerful, right? Here we go. Go ahead, Lisa.
Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some of the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly," and his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals," and so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." So he went out and followed him. He did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were first past the first and second guard posts, they came to an iron gate that leads to the city, which opens to them in its one accord. And when they went out, they went out down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people."
So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. They said to her, "You're beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, "It is his angel." Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go tell these things to James and to the brethren." And he departed and went to another place. Then as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers about what had become of Peter. But when Herod had searched for him and not found him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. Now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but they came to him with one accord, and having made Blastus the king, personal aide, their friend, they asked for peace because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them, and the people kept shouting, "The voice of a god and not a man." Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he had not given glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God grew and multiplied.
Wow. Can you believe that? That's amazing. When I read that, I was like, I saw so many cool things that really stood out. First of all, one thing I saw was how it says when Peter was put in prison, constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church.
Yeah.
I just thought, wow, see the power in prayer? Because here Peter was just sleeping. And while he was sleeping and the church was praying, that's when the angel came, and the prisoners just slept through it all. They didn't even realize what was happening.
Yeah, it's great.
The shackles were being brought off of his chains were coming off of him. Shackles were falling off of him. And I mean, he was literally just asleep when that happened. So I think that is amazing.
Sure. Yeah. When you say that, I think of like people that have loved ones out there and you've been praying for them. You've been believing for God to break through in their lives. You've been believing for healing for a family member, things like that. You know, we don't always know the power of prayer and what's going on behind the scenes. You know, angels are moving, things are happening, you know, and it can look like nothing's changing. And Peter's situation didn't look good. He's stuck in jail, and it's looking like it's going to be the end of his life. He just saw his friend killed, and now he is surrounded by guards. And it doesn't look like there's any way out. And how many times do we get in our own lives into situations where we're like, there's just doesn't seem like there's any way out. And angels are working, though. That's what we always have to remember. You know, we're talking about angels today. Angels are working on your behalf. They're ministering spirits. They're God's chosen ministering spirits to help us in the world. And God is, you know, interacting with angels. I don't believe, Lisa, that we should command angels. I believe that's God's job. But we pray, like the church was praying for Peter, and God dispatched an angel to rescue him. And I believe that that's the same for us in our lives today, that God is ready to dispatch angels to do things for us, to help us in our lives.
That is so cool. And I know that we have some people in our church that actually can see in the spirit realm, which I think would be really neat to do. And they see angels, and they're not some little Cupid thing, little naked thing flying, shooting an arrow. They're huge angels that are like past the ceiling, strong, big, mighty men. And it's really cool. And there's like thousands of angels, like 10,000s upon 10,000s of angels. And so it's really amazing. So I think it's really cool because in this story here, Peter didn't even realize that he thought it was like a vision or a dream. He couldn't even believe that this was even happening.
Well, because he was asleep.
Yeah, he was asleep, and he was just like probably thinking in his mind, how could I actually get by two guards? How could these chains actually just fall off of me? And how can I walk through two iron gates and the doors just fly open? This must be a dream. But then when he came to himself, when he realized what was really happening, he's like, wow, for certain the Lord has sent an angel delivering me. And so there may be a time where God's going to use an angel to deliver you from a situation.
Sure.
I've seen those videos that people will have captured videos of like angels rescuing people, like someone's riding on their bicycle and all of a sudden a car's about to hit them, and you see this really flash of an angel just move them. And they're like looking around like, how did I get to the other side? Like they didn't even realize like what had happened. And it's really cool how sometimes that has gotten captured.
Sure. Yeah, I believe in angels. I believe they're real. I believe the Bible tells us they're real. And I believe they're ministering spirits. I believe they have saved many people's lives. I know a story of my best friend Paul was in a car wreck, and he rolled the car over, and he was on the rail. And he said while he was, you know, going through the accident, he remembered that one of his eyes like turned white, like he saw white over his eye. And then his wife was later praying, and she felt like the Lord said to her that an angel had actually brought his wing over him and was holding him and protecting him like a seatbelt, and it had covered that part of his face. You know, and you can do what you want with that, but I choose to believe those kind of stories. I mean, you hear missionaries say that angels were seen all the way around them when the persecutors came to kill them all while they were having church, and they actually all froze and didn't do anything because they saw the angels. And, you know, that reminds me of the story, you know, with Elijah and with his servant, you know, and he's like, or no, Elisha with his servant, and he's saying, Lord, show my servant how many are with us. And he opened his eyes, and he was able to see in the spirit, and he saw legions of armies of angels surrounding them as they were going into battle. So I just say that to say there are angels all around you guys that are listening today. They're working, they're moving, they're interacting, and your prayer has the ability to actually move things.
Well, that's what happened.
To make things happen.
That's what I thought was really the key element in Acts chapter 12, verse 5, where it says, while Peter was kept in prison, they were in earnest, constant prayer, and it was offered to him by the church. So it shows that they were praying. And then when they got a knock at the door, and the girl Rhoda answers the door, and she's like, I think it's an angel or something. I think there's something at the door. You know, she wasn't really even sure that it was Peter, because it was like, how could it be Peter? But literally they were praying at that time. So who knows? They might have been praying for him. And the next thing you know, he's knocking at the door.
Right, right.
Going, what's happening?
Well, I love in verse 16, it says, now Peter continued knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, it says they were astonished. Okay. How many times are we astonished, or are we, you know, caught off guard when God answers our prayers? God sent an angel to deliver Peter. They were praying for him. They were believing for him to be set free, right?
Right.
And then when he was set free, they were astonished. It's like, well, that's what you were praying for. Why are you astonished that he's standing at the door? You prayed for him that God would rescue him, that God would set him free. I mean, we've prayed those kind of prayers in our own lives. And then when God does move, we're like, oh, wow, it worked.
I remember Andrew Womack.
We've got to believe that it's going to work every time.
Andrew Womack shared a story about how there was someone at his church that had come for prayer, and they had severely crossed eyes. So he prayed for their eyes to straighten out, and the eyes straightened out right in front of him. And he's like, I don't believe it. And as soon as he said it, the eyes went crossed again, and then they wouldn't go straight again.
Yeah.
So it was just like, okay, you had your miracle, then you said out of your mouth you don't believe it. So it just went straight back, because obviously faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And he had the faith to pray, and then when he saw the results, he said he didn't believe it, and it went back to where it was.
Yeah, I actually had a part stand out to me at the very front. In verse 1, it says, now about the time that Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some people from the church. You see, Herod is a type and shadow of Satan, of the enemy. And, you know, he is trying to harass us. Satan is always coming to try to steal, to kill, and to destroy. In John 10:10, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. And, you know, what is the enemy doing in your life right now to try to harass you, to try to, you know, make your life miserable, to make you curse God even? I've seen the enemy get people to a place where they will actually curse God, like Job and his friends. His friends are like, just curse God and die, man. I can't believe what's happening to you. But he's like, no, I'm going to trust in the Lord, and I'm going to see God deliver me from this situation. And, you know, you're out there. And I'm here today to say angels are moving. Angels are working on your behalf. If you can begin to, you know, seek the Lord in prayer, pray earnestly, pray fervently, pray with a sincere heart, and then trust the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Believe in God's ability to get you out of a situation that seems hopeless.
Right.
And Peter had no hope at all. He was just laying there waiting. In his mind, he was going to get killed the next morning.
Yes.
By Herod.
And did you
know Herod was going to kill him? He was so upset when he couldn't find him to kill him.
That's another key that I thought, because it was right before he was going to be brought out that the night before, that's when it happened. So many times we're waiting for a breakthrough and we want it right now. Like, oh, Lord, when is this going to happen? I've been praying and believing. When is this going to happen? And it might be just the moment right before when you really need it the most. When you're like going, is it really going to happen? Is it really going to happen? And this is what happened. Like right before he was about to be taken out, to be brought before the Jews and be murdered. That's when the breakthrough came. That's when the angel came and broke the chains and he was rescued. And it's also cool, too, that an angel was used to kill Herod. And he got a disease and he wound up being eaten by worms and died. Because it says immediately the angel of the Lord struck him because he didn't give glory to God and he was eaten by worms and died. So I don't know if that was the same angel that brought Peter out or a different angel, but it was really cool.
Right.
That angel did that. But it's neat too, because in the Bible, the angels are mentioned 108 times in the Old Testament.
Wow.
And 165 times in the New Testament.
Yeah, the two most famous angels, and examples of angels in the Bible, and they actually have names.
Gabriel,
and he stands in the Lord's presence in Luke 1:19, and Michael, who fights against Satan and the enemies of God in Revelation 12:7. But there's millions upon millions of angels, I believe.
In Psalms 104:4, it says, "For he will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest they dash your foot against a stone." And also, it also says in Psalm 103:20, "Who makes his angels spirits, he ministers a flame of fire." So we know from that verse, his angels are spirits and they minister.
Yeah, absolutely. That's part of their purpose, is to, help with creation. Think of all the different people that have lived on the earth and through all of time, and ministering angels have been here from the beginning. Even when Adam and Eve were in the garden, Lucifer himself was an angel who fell, and there are fallen angels. I think the demonic realm is actually consists of angels that have fallen from, God, and they were given free will, and they chose to walk away from God, just like we did. And, they are living now under Satan's control, and it's not a good thing for them. They're angry. They're mad at humanity, because we got forgiveness and they didn't, and they're never going to be redeemed. And that's the thing, is they know their time is short. They're fighting to drag as many people down with them as they can, and they're battling for the souls of people on this earth. And God is fighting as well, but we hold the key. Man has authority over all of the earth, and if we will submit ourselves to God and begin to pray and begin to believe and begin to stand on the word, we can see the angels of God will begin to move on our behalf. They'll begin to move in our lives and the lives of those we're praying for, and the miraculous will begin to unfold all around us as we see God just beginning to move and operate through the spirit realm with his angels. And angels are... they're tough.
Yes, and as far as the demonic angels, the Bible says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee.
Yeah.
Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So we have power and authority over the enemy. And the Bible says we lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. We cast out demons and we speak with new tongues. So we don't have to be in fear over the enemy. We have so many more angels and protection over us. So we just trust God and speak the word of God over our lives.
Sure.
And we will see the fruit of it.
We can all get into situations in our lives, but God will send angels to rescue us, to help us in time of need. And look at Daniel 6:22. It says, "My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths."
Wow.
"And they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him and also before you, O king. I have done no harm." And you know what? We can be found blameless because of Jesus in our life. If you're under the blood of Jesus, if you've given your heart and life to Christ, you are able to be seen as blameless before God, and God will at that point send angels to shut the enemy's mouth.
That's so good.
On your behalf, because the enemy is speaking out against you. He's saying, "You know what? You're a liar. You're a sinner. You deserve
hell. You're not good enough.
You deserve, death. Everything that they tried to bring upon us, God is saying, no, through Christ, we've been redeemed from that. And then angels go to work. When you put your trust in the Lord, angels begin to go to work. And they begin to help you and work with you in your life, man, making all things work together for good to those who love God.
And there's another scripture that says, bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. So that shows that the angels answer to the word of the Lord. And so that we can speak the word of the Lord out and the angels will react.
That's so good. What a great little passage of scripture here. You know, we've been going through, everyone, if you maybe tuned in a little bit later, but we've been in Acts chapter 12, just talking about Peter being set free from the prison and how even he was surprised, but the church was praying for him. And through those prayers, God sent angels to deliver him from his chains. You know, what chains are you bound by today in the world? You know, what guards are you sitting in between that are holding you captive? You know, is it addiction? Is it, you know, poverty? Are you sitting between those two and saying, I'm never going to be able to get free from this? Well, I'm here today to tell you that God himself is ready to break those chains off of you and walk you into a new life with him if you will just say, you know, I believe in you, Jesus, and give your life to him. He will begin to send his ministering angels to work on your behalf. Just as he sent them to rescue Peter, he'll send them to rescue you. Guys, we're going to take a quick break here from our sponsors. We'll come back and talk a little bit more about angels and prayer.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you. Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? Join us every Thursday night for Discipleship Encounters here at Lighthouse Christian Church. That's right, it's Thirsty Thursday from 6:30 to 8 p.m., and we're spending time learning, encountering, and becoming equipped as believers for the great revival that's beginning to unfold. Come experience the power of the gospel and learn how to share Christ in a modern world. For more information, go to ourlighthouse.net or show up at 1250 North Banana River Drive. There's no cost for this event, and child care is provided.
Attention young adults, on August 20th at 6:30, Launch Young Adult Ministry will be starting, and you don't want to miss out. There's going to be food, fun, and fellowship, so come on out as we get you ignited to launch you into where God wants you to be. This is going to be located at 1250 North Banana River Drive in the Double Bubble Building. So come on out and get ready to be launched. For more information about Launch, check us out at our website at ourlighthouse.net or on Instagram at launch_youngadultministry.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Once again, we want to just thank you for taking the time to listen to two people that love Jesus and just want to talk about scripture and things on the air. So you're listening to Turn the Light On, and we hope that you're enjoying today's topic of angels and prayer. And we're talking about Peter being rescued and how Herod was harassing the church, and the angel of the Lord came due to the prayers of the church and rescued Peter from in between the two guards. It really caused a big stir. Peter was completely delivered. He was even shocked himself that the angel walked him right out of the jail and then departed from him. And then he went to the disciples and found everybody. And even they couldn't believe their prayers were answered that quick. And I think we have to be really careful that we are believing what we're praying, and that we are standing and saying, I want to pray for something, but not be shocked when God moves. God's going to send his angels to work when you begin to pray. We can, you know, the Bible says that one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight in prayer. And I think prayer is a powerful thing that we need to talk about.
Yes, there is so much power in prayer. And if you're praying for your loved ones or your family, and you're wanting them to have an encounter with the Lord, just put your trust in God and pray that he even will put an angel in their path. I mean, it's amazing that God can speak to you through your dreams. And I pray that all the time over my kids, like, Lord, just speak to them in their dreams, reach them where I can't reach them. And he will, and they'll have an encounter with him, and it'll be amazing. So don't give up and don't lose heart, even if you're not seeing the results right away. Because look at this, when he was in prison, it was like right before he was going to be taken out to be killed that God rescued him through an angel. So just keep trusting in God and knowing that he's going to work it out. And it might not be the timing that we want to have happen, but it's in God's timing that he will make a way where there seems to be no way.
That's so good. Angels are moving in your life, guys. Those of you who are listening, angels are working. If you are submitting yourself to God and resisting the devil, he will flee from you, because God's angels are going to drive him out of your life. And just begin to believe in the power of God over your life, and the power that Jesus Christ is able to deliver you, to redeem you, to set you free. And all of this happened after Jesus was resurrected, and these guys were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And the world is going to come against us, but we can stand in the power of God and see angelic miracles taking place even today in this modern day that we live in. Guys, we hope that you enjoyed the program today. Just want to say God bless you. We'll see you next time on Turn the Light On.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Maryland, Florida. Our service times are Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. or by social media any time of the day or night. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to meet you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.